Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi. And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of April 23rd, 2015. Today we're joined by our co-host, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing today, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
Very well. Very well. Well, D.R., as we were saying, it was before you were born, before a lot of people were born, but in 1973, the United States celebrated the first Earth Day holiday. Mm-hmm. It came out of a deluge of environmental legislation and environmental concern that happened in the early 1970s. It was a day that united the world, or at least the United States, in thinking about environmental issues. Mm-hmm. And this past week was, I think, the 45th or 43rd anniversary of Earth Day. Mm-hmm. So it's into its 40s now, right?
Yes.
So did you decorate your front lawn with LED lights and how did you celebrate Earth Day?
Well, it's more of an observation of looking back at that 45th anniversary and just seeing, you know, how things have changed so dramatically in terms of, you know, the culture surrounding it. I think I'd sent along to some friends a clip of the 1970 NBC News coverage of Earth Day that mentioned the climate crisis.
Oh, really?
and how as Peter Sinclair noted on his website climatecrocs.com, how at the time there were people concerned from a progressive perspective that Earth Day would distract from concerns about war and poverty.
Yes.
And to see how things have changed to where 45 years later you have a reactionary attack on Earth Day as somehow being anti-capitalist or anarchist or Marxist or whatever. So it's just fascinating how the cultural politics have shifted over the course of the past 4.5 decades.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I was reading somewhere. Of course, NOAA is the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, and it was mm-hmm. founded in the early 70s at about
yes.
the same time. And, of course, mm-hmm. that atmospheric part of that is a climate change-related concern that I think was alive even then, and people knew
exactly.
this was in the offing out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I also
oh, yeah.
saw there was an interesting piece by Brenton Mock on Grist, mm-hmm. basically touching on some of the same environmental justice discussions that at the time people worried that a focus on environmental concerns would divert attention from issues like poverty, racism, and of course at the mm-hmm. time the Vietnam War was an enormous topic. But here we are, and I think Brenton Mark's point is that here we are many years later recognizing the connection of social justice and equality issues to environmental issues. In fact, I think he made the point that the Ferguson thing happened just before the People's Climate March last mm-hmm. September. And it was by the time the climate march happened, people had pretty much recognized the congruous nature of mm-hmm. the need to be in parallel between these environmental justice, social justice movements and the climate movement, that it was kind mm-hmm. of one and the same thing.
And it's fascinating, and you know, you mentioned that it began before I was born, so it's fascinating that there was ever this sort of idea of a conflict between environmental concerns and social justice concerns. When when you think about that great piece that Wynne Stevenson wrote a few years ago, The Nation, about Port Arthur, Texas, and how the fossil fuel pollution in Port Arthur, Texas, has just devastated the economically vulnerable community in that city, and how you just see right there the connection between, you know, social injustice and environmental environmental injustice. So the notion that these two ideas would be in conflict is just, it just seems to be, you know, mind-boggling from my perspective.
Well, I think that, I guess the one of the problems, so, I mean, Earth Day is a great concept. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that we have come a long way in a different direction in that at the time of the first Earth Day, of course, I was not a participant directly in it, but, I mean, it was much more hard-edged. I mean, there were a mm-hmm. lot of people very concerned, all grown up with real issues on their minds. It seems over the last 40 years or so, Earth Day has become much more corporatized, defanged, and mm-hmm. basically an opportunity to take the second graders to the park and pick up some papers. Right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really threaten any kind of a change. It just becomes mm-hmm. kind of this educational opportunity, perhaps, but not really a potent political movement. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm wondering if that is a good thing, whether is potentially changing, whether or not climate hawks need to reclaim the holiday and make it have a little bit more punch than it has now. Mm-hmm. And then I wonder about just generally the value of annual commemorations, that is to say a holiday for climate hawks. I mean, they're not bad things to have.
When you bring up the example of Earth Day's a sort of real meaning being toned down, I think of the obvious example, and I don't recall if Brenton Mock mentioned this in his piece, but the obvious example of how Martin Luther King Day has been softened and toned down and commercialized, so you don't focus on some of the more controversial and more strident and more, from some perspectives, radical views that Martin Luther King held. How Martin Luther King has been turned into this sort of sanitized figure, just as Earth Day has been sort of sanitized figure as well.
There was something I read, and I apologize. I mean, there's stuff from all over the lot here, but mm-hmm. that Earth Day is the biggest global secular holiday.
Yeah.
Because it's no longer just a U.S. holiday, so it's mm-hmm. global. Everyone does it, but it's in the category of, I mean, I don't want to offend anyone, but it's in the category of Christmas, where it's mm-hmm. observed more in the insult than in actually participating in, you know, really
exactly.
good. I mean, you have Christmas, everyone's singing Christmas carols as they punch each other out at the Walmart to get the plasma TV, right?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, this kind of corruption of holidays, of the meaning of holidays mm-hmm. Happens for all kinds of things. But
yeah.
the question is whether, I guess the real question is whether or not, for all of its flaws, Earth Day is a good thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's got legs. It's been around for 45 years. People still
yeah.
think about it. I mean, how do you rework it into something that's useful?
Mm-hmm. Well, it brings up a great piece that Joe Rome wrote the day before Earth Day this year, where he basically talked about how we have to sort of rethink about this and think about not so much about the Earth. He basically made the point that Neil deGrasse Tyson has long made, that the Earth will be fine, it will be humans that will be in a spot of trouble, and he proposed calling it, I believe, Triage Day, where you basically try to avoid the worst things that can happen to humans because of carbon pollution. He basically says, you know, if worst comes to worst, he concludes, at least future generations won't have to change the name again. And it is, and you can raise the issue of as to whether or not, you know, it was a mistake to even call it Earth Day to begin with, because it puts the focus on the Earth as opposed to the focus on the humans who have to have an inhabitable Earth. Maybe
I agree. I was sort of thinking that same thing. I mean, it's an unfortunate, because it's become this, you know, the Earth has a, you know, it's so overwhelmingly big.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, your point kind of reminds me of the bumper sticker about the two whales swimming around saying "Save the humans." Right?
Yes, exactly.
It's all part and parcel of the same thing.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, we hope. I mean, Earth Day means a lot of things to many people. I think that it has deeper connotations than maybe than you know. It's easy to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be around for a while, and we will be back to discuss it hopefully again next year. But
mm-hmm.
I guess the other big anniversary that's trundled around, DR, is 5 years ago this week, Ironically enough, near Earth Day, and as an incredible juxtaposition to the sentiment of Earth Day, we had the British Petroleum, the BP well blowout, right? The Macondo well, or I think that's what they called it, or Deepwater Horizons. That was
Deepwater
the
Horizon.
famous words, right? That was 5 years ago. And so I
Yes.
guess the question then comes, okay, where the heck are we now? 5 years later, are we better off, or did we just kind of tiptoe away from the edge of disaster there and say that everything's fine?
Well, there was a great editorial that was written in the New York Times talking about the on ironically enough published on Earth Day on April the 22nd, warning, reminding us that there is still tremendous damage that has been done to the Gulf, damage that has not yet been repaired, damage that may well never be repaired, and reminding us not to forget about that. And the other thing that we've noticed is this sort of mother of all spin jobs being done by BP in terms of television advertising, basically saying, hey, everything's fine, everything's just ducky,
We
everything's
love
just
the Gulf.
wonderful.
I've lived here all my life. We're going to protect the Gulf.
Exactly. And the interesting thing is that, and I think people should watch out for this, because if you think this media spin is bad, it's been reported that next year, in fact, September of 2016, I believe it's either Warner Brothers or Universal Pictures is planning to release a movie about the Deepwater Horizon
Oh, really?
spill called Deepwater Horizon. It's scheduled to star Mark Wahlberg and Kurt Russell, and they're going to basically it's basically something modeled along the lines of the film The Perfect Storm, which Mark Wahlberg also starred in. And it'll be interesting to see how heavily the spin will be from BP about that film when it comes out.
So do you think that Wahlberg would be spinning it for BP, or that BP is going to be reacting to? Because you can easily imagine the two heroic BP men trying to save the planet by not letting any more oil spill out, right? I mean, that's a message that would have a long-term, I think, impact for BP, right? People really love the movies.
If you remember the how the fracking industry tried to go after Universal Pictures over the movie with Matt Damon,
Oh,
Promised
yeah.
Land, with Matt Damon about fracking, and how the fracking industry freaked out over that movie. They're just going to be even more intense in terms of going after this, because again, BP just they're as image conscious as anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also been pointed out that we talk about the 5th anniversary of the BP oil spill. This July marks the 15th anniversary of BP of the commencement of BP's short-lived Beyond Petroleum campaign. And if you think about it, had they really gone beyond petroleum, they wouldn't be in all the PR trouble that they got themselves into 5 years ago.
Well, and I think I mean, just that if people don't remember that far back, or we're not paying attention that far back, the BP logo is still a sun pattern, right?
Yes.
Which was the Beyond Petroleum logo that they introduced, and they were going to, and of course, so the argument is, so British Petroleum was going to go Beyond Petroleum, and I mean, the way I've always heard it is that, the at the turn of the 20th century, right, the people who ran the trains thought that they were in the train business, right? And that's what they did. They were in the train business. And the trucking industry came along and basically stole much of their business, right? It's because the train people didn't realize that they were in the transportation business. And it didn't matter whether they were driving a train or a truck, right? But they lost out. And the same logic applied, and I think to BP's credit at the time, they said, we're an energy company, not an oil company, right? So we're going to find new ways to generate energy and be ahead of that curve. And who knows, maybe if a certain U.S. Presidential administration had put more support into the obvious need to address climate change, British Petroleum would have come out ahead. But yeah, after a
Exactly.
few years, they weren't making money, and the shareholders came around and said, "We gotta get back
Back
to
to
our core
petroleum.
business, right? Because we're
Exactly.
oil people."
Exactly.
And I don't know, I don't know. British. I saw an article in The Economist. Along the same vein, so The Economist is a British magazine, has rather a conservative tilt, and they were talking about how much money poor BP had had to pay out in fines in the United States, and how they had to pay money to pizza parlors that hadn't really been damaged by the oil industry. And it was very sympathetic. And they were basically making the case that if the United States fines British Petroleum, which is actually up to like $40 billion they've been fined, and it's still going up, right? So BP is paying maybe a quarter's annual profit, right? If they don't, if the United States doesn't back off on penalizing BP, then the United States would become an unattractive place for oil industry people to do business because it'll be too clean. I just was struck by the, I don't know, the
Chutzpah?
hermetic seal or hermetic bubble these guys live in, right? That
Yeah.
they can make that without ever referencing the fact that this is incredibly damaging stuff they're doing.
It's the world of big money is a world unto itself. It has its own rules, it has its own values, it has its own morals, and they're not recognizable for people who have, who people who actually are concerned about the long-term effects of these sorts of things. I think back to Tony Hayward, the I think the then head of BP, saying that he wanted his life back, and I think to I think thought to myself, what about the 11 people who died? They'd like to have their lives back. And of course, I also think about the other anniversary. That's the fifth anniversary that we're about to come up on in June, I believe, which is the Texas Congressman Jill Barton apologizing to BP for what he called a shakedown for the Obama administration. Of course, Barton was notoriously a heavy recipient of campaign contributions
It
from that
still
same
is, I think,
industry,
right?
and still is, exactly,
He's still in
exactly.
there swinging.
It's so
Well,
sad.
we've seen, so we've had two anniversaries this week that give us different perspectives on where climate hawks are and where we're going. I think you can take good and bad out of both of them. I guess I would choose to take good things and say Earth Day is helping us going in the right direction, and at least the Obama administration is trying to make British Petroleum pay for their misdeeds, I guess is the best way to put it. So I guess we got to leave it there, DR. The clock on my
Definitely.
computer says we've been at this for 16 minutes already. We're going to let our listeners go on to their productive lives instead of wasting their lives listening to us. you can check links. You can check out links to most of what we talked about at the blog. It's massclimateaction.wordpress.com. You can leave us a comment there. Or you can send an email to comment@massclimateaction.net. You can find us on Facebook at /massclimateaction, and there you can share our show so all of your friends can listen to us as well. That would be a really good thing. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, and you can find us on iTunes. You can search for Massachusetts Climate Action. That's how you get to us under the podcast heading. Please subscribe to us there. It pushes up our visibility, and again, it can be your climate action for the week, is to make this show more visible. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and because we believe it is our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon pollution. Thank you very much for being here, DR.
Thanks.
And we'll talk to you again soon. We'll talk to everybody next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us, and until next time, be green.
Very cool.